you quote a philosopher who was herself a refugee, who basically said, well, you know, there are human rights, but only if a human grants them to someone else.
Yes. So that would be Hannah Arendt, who had a terrible experience herself as a refugee from Hitler's Germany in World War II. And she went to countries like France, where she had a very difficult time. Among other things, the French government detained German Jews of Arendt's generation on the grounds, it's hard for us to believe this now, but on the grounds that those Jews might enter a war on the side of Hitler against France. So, though, and other bad things were done to them by places like France and other countries. And those countries often have very ringing language about human rights in their constitutions. Certainly France, the birthplace of the rights of man, as human rights were first called, is an example of this. So Arendt looks around at this political universe on the one hand where you have all of this very robust language, like you point out, very sweeping affirmations of human rights in principle that is not matched in practice. And Arendt concludes from that there's something inherently fictional about this idea of inalienable universal human rights. She concludes it's better to think of rights as something that we acquire in virtue of our membership in a political community, so as a citizen of a country like France or Canada or what have you. So in the end, she's driven to this position of fairly radical skepticism about human rights. I don't go as far as Arendt. I don't think the right conclusion is to say, okay, well, let's just junk the very idea of human rights. But I agree with her really, I guess, in two ways. One is, I think she's right that refugees are a crucial test case for at least the enforceability of human rights. Because if you think of those rights that refugees can appeal to, they've lost whatever rights they may have once had in virtue of being citizens of a state. And the only real rights they can draw on now are those rights that they're supposed to possess in virtue of their humanity. So if human rights are going to be enforced, they definitely need to be enforced on this group, on behalf of this group. So I agree with Arendt that refugees are a crucial test case. I also agree with her that looking at the historical record, we do not find a very happy picture. Things have changed in several ways for the better since Arendt's time, but it is unfortunately still all too common that refugees do not have their rights respected in practice. So if we're serious about human rights, then this is an important challenge that we need to face up to and try to do a better job of reality matching our rhetoric.
You seem to be an admirer of the way Canada, compared to other countries, tends to handle things as a result of, largely of the Singh decision, I guess.
I'm definitely an admirer of the Singh decision.
Maybe you should recap briefly what that is.
So the Singh decision is probably the first big human rights test of Canada's charter. It comes down in the early 80s. And one of the lawyers who was involved in the case, I thought she put it well. She said, a key question here was whether the rights in Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms are rights of citizens or human rights. And unlike a lot of legal decisions around the world, this one was decided in the refugees' favor. And it was found that these people who come here and file refugee claims do have certain rights, even though they're not citizens of our political community. And that itself was a big breakthrough. But the actual right in practice was the right to an oral hearing. So if you come here and you say, I want to make a refugee claim, it's not the right to stay in Canada, it's the right to have somebody at least talk to you about your case. So they have to do it in person, they can't turn you away, and they can't just have you write it down and decide everything on paper. That may not sound like much, and in many ways it's not enough. I argue we need to go much further than that. But the genius of the Singh decision, I think, is that it finds a way to break out of this impasse that seems to so define these issues in so many places, where you have human rights thrown into conflict with border control. A lot of countries don't accept refugees because they exercise a very severe form of border control. Singh is a breakthrough, I argue, because it allows us to recognize the rights of refugees, but it's not the right to stay in Canada. It's the right to certain procedures being used to decide your case, to really look into your case in a proper way and determine whether you really are a refugee or not. That's compatible with, say, if we do find the new refugees, maybe sending them to the U.S. afterwards, transferring them from one country to another, which can be fair so long as it's done in a certain way. So I try to, and I argue that this is a better approach than the right to asylum, which some countries have tried, and I argue is sort of an honorable failure in this area. So Singh is, I think, a world historical masterpiece. The larger elements of Canada's system as a whole, unfortunately, is disappointing. All governments today seem to be disappointing in this area, but Singh points the way toward what an ultimately just approach might look like.
At the moment, there are still people who are so xenophobic that they would like to kick them back, regardless of where they're coming from or who. Just you want to come here, you can't.
There is a view that you do see that.
And it gets used by politicians, which drives me crazy.
Yeah, the political rhetoric around this issue, with one or two exceptions, is inevitably very disappointing. It's based on a fantasy, this idea that if we just make the system harsh enough, it's like refugees and refugee claimants will just go away. But people will always arrive at our borders who need our help. That's just a fact of life, no matter how harsh we make the system. Moreover, politicians have to have a short-sighted focus on their own country in isolation from other countries. But there's been cases where one country has made its own asylum system harsher, harder to access, but then its neighbors make their systems even harsher. So this way of trying to stop them is only effective if your system is restrictive in relation to the alternatives. But what you really get is a race to the bottom. So it doesn't work in the end a lot of the times, because a country puts in these changes and loses its relative position as the worst place to go. Right? So it would be much better, and hopefully, you know, one reason I wrote this book was try to get people to take a broader view and look at it in a more international context.
The book is Frontier Justice, The Global Refugee Crisis and What to Do About It. I've been speaking with the author, Andy Lamy, and Frontier Justice, published by Doubleday Canada.